Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, happy Friday. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on September 5th. Coming up in today's episode, we've got the details on how a Kent firm has been caught up in Angela Rayner's tax affairs. There are also calls for the government to rethink their youth detention model, and we'll hear from the Gillingham boss ahead of their local derby this weekend. But first, taking a look at our top story today. A driver who chased another motorist through Strood when they clipped her wing mirror has ended up in court after her child filmed it. This is a bit of an unusual case. I've got Nicola with me with some more details. First of all, Nick, can you tell me when and where this happened?
Yeah, so this is all believed to have started near Station Road in Strood when Judy Keelan was indicating to turn right on January the 17th last year. She says the wing mirror of her Kia Soul Connect was clipped by another vehicle and some of her daughter's long hair was caught up in the process. Now, the 42-year-old got out of her car to confront the driver and then she started following his car through the Wainscott area.
Now, she's ended up in court because she asked her daughter to start filming. Is that right?
That's right. Her daughter was filming as Judy followed the other vehicle through Welfare Way, then Four Elms Hill roundabout, Hoo Road, Hollywood Lane and Holly Road. The mobile phone footage shows her pushing through a gap in traffic and mounting a grass verge. She's also overtaking other vehicles, honking her horn, and at one point she calls her partner to tell him what happened. Now, Judy took this footage to the police herself in a bid to have the other driver penalised, but on reviewing the video, they charged her with dangerous driving.
Did she try to give any reason for her erratic driving?
Well, Judy, who lives in Kingsway Gardens in Strood, claims she was angry, not only because the other driver had hit her wing mirror, but because she thought he was responsible for stealing a car from her on a previous occasion. In that instance, she reported the theft to police and nothing happened, and that's why she'd followed him. When she appeared in court, she pleaded guilty to the charges. She's been banned from driving for a year and placed on a 12-month community order, which will include 100 hours of unpaid work and 15 rehab sessions. She's also been ordered to pay £200. The court also heard that the initial incident was nothing more than Keelan's wing mirror being pushed back. The other motorist was spoken to by police and no further action was taken.
Thanks, Nicola. You can read the full report on this story at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and an investigation's taking place into a crash on the M2 near Sittingbourne that's left two people injured. They were taken to hospital after two cars and a lorry collided on the London-bound carriageway near Junction 5 last Friday morning. Investigators are trying to work out how it happened and they want dashcam footage. Two men who tried to smuggle 10 people from Vietnam into the UK in the back of a lorry have been jailed for a total of 9.5 years. A court heard they were part of a gang, which also included a man from Kent who charged the migrants £15,000 each for the crossing in 2020. A 44-year-old from Dover had earlier admitted his involvement and was sentenced to 4 years. There are fears the temporary closure of Faversham Cottage Hospital could become permanent. A public meeting's been held to discuss its future after it closed suddenly at the start of July. Bosses say they're working to resolve issues around staffing but have been unable to say when it might reopen. The head of a Kent charity that runs youth detention centres in Spain has called on the government to look at their model and how it's reducing offending. Diagrama Foundation has a number of re-education facilities with more than 80% of young people held there going on to reintegrate into society. Chief Executive David Maguire, who lives in Borough Green, has been speaking to Nicola.
The data says that 82% of our kids, they reintegrate in the community and 18% no reoffending, while in the UK is quite different. But yes, we have people working because we also help them to find and keep a job outside and have opportunities work-wise. And with the families, we work very close with the families.
How concerned were you when you heard that the facility in Rochester had to temporarily close? We heard that there were some incidents of violence. I mean, do you come across that sort of thing in Spain as well? Or is that quite unique to hear?
It's quite unique. I mean, is the kids not feeling safe and the kids and the member staff not feeling safe, you can go to any of our centre, anytime, and not one kid or not one member staff will say that they feel unsafe. Not one. I was concerned because We fail again these kids. That basically is the system has failed again these kids. Why? Because now they are going to go back to YOIs, STCs, and more other type of centers, more punished focused. But more than concern, I was, or apart from concern, I was very sad to know that we miss an opportunity to change things in the UK. That is the great thing. I mean, I was quite angry because we are not going to have many opportunities to change, and now we have given we have given some people to say, okay, then see why kids should be punished and they shouldn't give in these other type of interventions or things like that. That is the thing that makes me quite angry.
From what you're saying, it sounds like they're making a huge difference in Spain, and it's really a model that you would love the government to be looking more closely at to have here.
Yes, I think I wouldn't miss the opportunity. I mean, has been invested so much money in this center that has been paid by all of us, tax money. I mean, when we applied, we didn't put in our bid to refurbish for 30 something million pounds. I mean, I think we were going to refurbish for 2 million, and I thought it was expensive. But yeah, you cannot, if you go to any of our centers and any person from the UK comes to any of, because I've had so many visitors, you will be amazed how the kids are just looking forward to have a new future, stop reoffending. Of course, some of them will reoffend, but I mean, it's I wish to have the gold bullet to say, okay, then let's have everybody integrated. But as I said, 12% of our kids reoffend, but sorry, 12, no, 18% reoffend, but 82 reintegrate, which I need to be focused on.
He's spoken out after the Oasis Restore site in Rochester was forced to temporarily close amid safety concerns. The MOJ say they're taking the issue there seriously, and all young people have been moved to other secure settings.
Kent Online News.
A Kent firm used by the Deputy Prime Minister to buy a flat she's since admitted underpaying stamp duty on has denied giving her tax advice. Verico and Associates in Herne Bay says it's being made a scapegoat. Local Democracy reporter Simon Finlay joins me now on the podcast. Simon, thanks ever so much for being on today's episode. We've heard a lot about Angela Rayner's tax affairs in the past couple of days. It's all rather complicated. Could you just summarise what she's done?
Well, essentially what's happened is that she's bought a flat in Hove, that very pleasant place down on the coast, as a flat for 800,000 quid. And in terms of the stamp duty, she said that this was to be her principal home, not the home that she has in a constituency up in the north. But it then appears that it wasn't her principal home, or it doesn't appear to be a principal home. And that means that she had underpaid the amount of stamp duty that she should have paid by about 40,000 quid. So anyway, when this all emerged, largely due to the work of newspaper journalists, she has then rather late in the day kind of admitted that she had made a mistake, and it's now gone to an independent sort of investigator for an independent investigator to be decided upon.
And how has a Kent company got involved in all of this?
Well, there was a conveyancing firm called Verico, which is based in Herne Bay. And one of the things that Angela Rayner had claimed was that she had received incorrect tax advice. Now, the company that did the conveyancing, has Verico in Herne Bay, has basically said that they didn't offer her any tax advice. They merely asked her to submit some details. They fed it through the government computer, and the government computer came out with whatever they came out, and the figure that was £40,000 less than what she should have paid for. You know, Angela Rayner is now saying that it's all it was all a bit of a mistake, and that that she hasn't done anything wrong. The consequence of this is it's gone to a guy called Sir Laurie Mayer, and he's taken into account all the submissions in the case, and he's due to hand his conclusions in sometime today, and largely due to what he finds will probably decide on whether Angela Rayner is the Deputy Prime Minister and the Housing Secretary by the end of the day.
And what's the MD of the company had to say?
Well, she has basically said, there's a woman called Joanna Verrico, and she told The Guardian that I can confirm my firm does not deal with trusts or offer tax advice. The stamp duty and land tax calculated using the HMRC calculator was strictly based on the facts and information provided to us. And she basically said that we believe we did everything correctly and in good faith. But the company also said that it didn't want to become a scapegoat in this.
An investigation into all of this has been taking place over the last couple of days. What's Ms. Rayner said?
Well, Angela Rayner has made her position clear. She hasn't said anything publicly apart from the interview that she gave to Beth Rigby at Sky News. But one minister after another has been piling in to sort of show their support for her, including Rachel Reeves, who's quite a regular visitor to Kent, who said, I have full confidence in Angela Rayner. She's a good friend and a colleague. She's accepted that the right stamp duty wasn't paid. That was an error. That was a mistake. And she's working hard to rectify that in contact with HMRC to make sure that the correct tax is paid. Now, you know, if HMRC comes back and decides to penalise her, then she'll obviously have to pay the remainder of the amount that she owes, plus the penalties on top, which could be several thousand pounds.
Thanks, Simon. You can get the very latest developments on this story by clicking on the national news page at Kent Online. Nigel Farage will speak at Reform's annual conference in Birmingham later. Nadine Dorries is expected to introduce him onto the stage after defecting from the Conservatives. Kent County Council leader Lyndon Kencarron is due to make a speech over the weekend.
Kent Online News.
A pharmaceutical company based in Sandwich has announced a huge expansion plan. Azichem wants to increase the size of their site at Discovery Park and recruit another 200 staff members. Bosses say the application will allow them to deliver economic benefit to the whole community. Support will be on offer to people in Swale who are struggling with the cost of living. A dozen charities and organisations will be on hand at the roadshow in Faversham next Tuesday, being held at the Salvation Army Centre. Visitors will also be able to get advice on health and wellbeing. Now, charities in Kent are being given the chance to bid for cash that's been raised by selling off items seized during police operations. The idea is they use the cash to keep communities safe, protect young people and vulnerable people, and reduce antisocial behaviour. I've been chatting to Matthew Scott, who's Kent's Police and Crime Commissioner.
So the fund comes from the sale or auction of goods which have been lost or seized and come into the police's possession. We then use that money to distribute to the local community. They can bid for grants of up to £2,000 to help us cut crime, support victims and build trust. So we've revamped basically what the scheme was before by increasing the amount that people can bid for, but also raise more awareness of it so that we can get it far reaching across our great county.
Now, just as a sort of a rough idea, what sort of items have been auctioned off?
So it could be anything really that has been lost or come into possession of police property. So it could be anything from lost property. It could be bikes. It could be other equipment as well. So it really is a wide variety of different things. But the important thing is that once that has been disposed of, we're trying to redistribute the money back into local communities so that they can use it to help us with those things.
Organisations can apply to benefit from the fund. What sort of groups are encouraged to apply?
So we're looking for charities, constituted groups, local organisations who can help us deliver our goal to cut crime, support victims and build trust. In the past, that has included Scouts and Girl Guiding, for example. It could be cadet units. Kent Search and Rescue have benefited in the past as well from this fund. So you know, if you are a charity, if you've got a constitution, you've got signatories on a bank account and you are signed up to our goals to support victims, cut crime and build trust, then we want to hear from you. If you go to our website, you'll be able to make an application there.
Will the organisations have to demonstrate in any way that they have been active in the community, actively working to sort of reduce crime?
In so much, we will ask them to provide some evidence that what they will use the money for will benefit one of those three things, whether it's cutting crime, supporting victims or building trust. So, if, for example, under cutting crime, it could be equipment that could be used to prevent crime from happening in the first place, such as alarms or keychains and things like that. Supporting victims could be programs that help victims of crime. or help them with their therapy or help them with their recovery. And building trust could be things that build relationships between the police and the public and these local organisations. So there's lots of different things that it can be used for. We're trying to enable rather than prevent people from applying. But the best thing to do is to head on over to our website and to read all the guidance which is up there. And there'll be an eligibility check which you can answer before you can submit your application. So you don't have to submit the whole thing and then find out you haven't qualified at the end.
You've got until October 17th to get in an application.
Kent Online News.
Several roads near Dartford will close this week for gas works that are expected to take nearly a year to complete. Engineers will be replacing old metal mains in Horton Kirby and Sutton at Hone in 10 phases that will run until August 2026. SGN say they're trying to minimise disruption. Details of the closures can be found at Kent Online. 3 months of roadworks in Canterbury linked to a new housing estate will start next week. It'll see traffic on Littlebourne Road reduced to single file so companies can lay utilities and improve roads for the former Howe Barracks housing redevelopment. The measures are in place until December 5th. A Kent pub that lost its licence after police uncovered evidence of lock-ins could soon be serving pints again. The Star Inn in St Mary in the Marsh in New Romney was caught out last year when officers were called to reports of a disturbance after hours. It's been open and serving food and soft drink for the last 8 months. The landlord has asked council for the licence to be reinstated. There's been mixed reaction as Greggs announced plans to open an outlet in Whitstable. Last week, council bosses gave the bakery chain the green light to renovate a property in the high street. Some locals say it's important to have affordable food options, but the chain could take trade away from local business.
Kent Online Sports.
Football now, and it's a huge local derby for Gillingham this weekend. They're travelling to take on Bromley, the only other side in League Two who remain undefeated this season. The Gills are currently top of the table, while tomorrow's opposition are third. Manager Gareth Ainsworth has been chatting to our sports reporter Luke Cordell.
All I'll say is we'll go there to win the game. Away from home, we've been very good this season. We've been solid. I know what Bromley's strengths are. I know what they'll test us with. And I also know that we will have to be at our best to get anything out of that game. Whether the new signings will be involved or not, we've got some injuries coming back as well. All will be revealed, I'm sure, just before kick-off on Saturday. But I'm really looking forward to it. It's my first Kent derby. Played in a few derbies around the country, managed a few derbies around the country. Looking forward to the Kent derby, and yeah, I'll see what happens after the game Saturday.
I think tickets were hard to get, but the fans have been snapping them up, and I think there's going to be quite a few in the bar here as well.
That's awesome. You know, it's a shame that the stand on the side is not fully ready yet, because I think it'd be a great rocking atmosphere, a full house. But the Gills fans, they get behind the team. I know that now, and even tonight they were fantastic. But I'm sure Saturday they'll all make that travel, and like I say, hopefully it keeps going well. We'll need you when it doesn't, but just keep getting behind the boys, because they're loving it, and I'll keep them going.
Jill's allocation of the tickets have sold out. The game's also on TV. Staying with football, and Kent-based London City Lioness has agreed a world record deal to sign PSG midfielder Grace Gayoro on deadline day. The paperwork was completed before last night's deadline, and the France midfielder's move is expected to be confirmed later. London City, who train in Aylesford, kick off the WSL season against Arsenal tomorrow. And taking a quick look at cricket, Kent are back in T20 Blast quarterfinal action this weekend. They're travelling to take on Lancashire Lightning. The Spitfires made it through to the knockout stages after finishing fourth in the South Group. Play is due to start tomorrow at 2:30. That's all from us today and for the week. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word at the checkout, you get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.